The Western Cape could soon be hosting a communication center that would help humanity make its next giant leap into space. The area around Magersfontein has been identified as a possible location for a deep space ground station. There's a series of satellite dishes that form part of an integrated network designed for seamless communication with deep space mission, the likes of those which could go to the moon or Mars. There are similar stations around the world, but only one other in the Southern Hemisphere, and that's in Australia. To tell us more, we are joined this morning on the line by Dr. Peter Kotze from the South African National Space Agency. Dr. Kotze, thank you so much for your time. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to everybody as well.
Now, the whole world is just talking COVID, COVID, COVID. This is a different story that has come to the fore. Tell us firstly about the South African National Space Agency. What kind of work do you do? Are you in collaboration with NASA?
Yes, the South African National Space Agency was established about 4 years or 10 years ago. It consists of three institutions, two of them in Pretoria, that is the headquarters, the engineering department. Then we have the, at Hartbeespoort, the Space Observation or Space Geodesy Group. And then in Amanus, we have another branch of space of SANSA, and that is the South African National Space Agency for Space Science. So basically, these three legs constitute the organization called SANSA, or the South African National Space Agency. So basically, we do a wide, diverse number of projects or investigations. Particularly here in Amanus, we study the physics of the sun and its interaction with the Earth's magnetic field, leading to magnetic storms that could have an adverse effect on our very sensitive technologies that we use nowadays. For instance, the cell phone that I'm speaking on at the moment, our power line systems can be adversely. So we need to know the physics behind all these interactions in order to take mitigating steps when such a storm or event occurs. Then basically in Pretoria, there is this distance or space observation group who uses satellite images for surveying the surface of the Earth, taking care of or investigating the effects of droughts. You can even investigate the effects of COVID from space to see the emission of carbon dioxide. Then we investigate droughts, where we can see what is the effect of a lack of water on plants, etc., etc. So a lot of these projects are aimed at in support of mankind and to, I would say, increase the level of living standards of mankind in general.
Now, talk to us about this deep space tracking station in the Western Cape.
Yes, as you said in your introduction, there are three stations from NASA. We collaborate with NASA over, I think we started off in the early 1960s with their space program. That is why the Space Observation Center was established at Hartbeespoort. It was to track near-Earth orbit satellites launched by NASA and to see what is their health situation just a few moments after launch. So that is one of the stations. When they launch from Cape Kennedy, the satellite travels either to Europe or to the southern part of the Earth, and that the first contact is then over southern Africa. So the station at Hartbeespoort, that is, or at Magersfontein, that is now envisaged, will slot in seamlessly with the other three existing deep space tracking stations. Now, these stations are designed specifically to monitor or to receive information and data from satellites that are more than 16,000 kilometers away from the Earth. The satellite station at Hartbeespoort is only capable of tracking satellites in near-Earth orbit, that is, the satellites at an altitude between 300 and 800 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. So, at Magersfontein, the reason why we have selected, or what Magersfontein is so suitable, is the topography of the environment is conducive for receiving signals from outer space. And by that I mean there are certain areas of some distance away from Magersfontein that is in a bowl-like shape. Mm. that is a deep canyon with surrounded by hills. That one of the pre-requirements for such a station is it must be far enough away from man-made noise. And that is the reason why all these stations are not located close to a city. And Mikey's Fontein is ideally suited for receiving or for have the potential to receive signals from outer space, because we cannot afford to have interference from other radio noise. So the topography or the bowl shape of this particular area is ideally suited to shield off external radio noise from man-made or any other sources that you can get. So in that sense, Mikey's Fontein is perfectly located. Also, in future, the mode of communication to outer space will be via lasers. Now, Mikey's Fontein is in a semi-arid or semi-desert, the Karoo region, where we know the cloud cover is far less than, for instance, at the coast.
Hmm.
So when you use lasers for interstellar or communication into our solar system, you need a cloudless environment. So Mikey's Fontein will, that is not already on the cards, but in future, it will be automatically be an ideal location for laser communication with outer space. Because with a laser, you can actually transmit a much higher volume of data than is currently possible by radio signals, for instance, that we use at the moment, for communication to outer space.
Now, tell us how South Africans will benefit from having this deep space tracking station in Mikey's Fontein in the Western Cape. Who pays for all of this?
Well, the whole project will be paid by NASA. And SANSA, or the South African Space Agency, will only administer it. The headquarters of this network is located in Pasadena in California at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So the benefit that we will gain from that, or South Africa in general, is that we will automatically be at the forefront of space exploration that's going to take place in the next decade or so. Because there are a lot or many or numerous space missions that are being planned to explore our solar system in the next couple of years. For instance, a mission to the moon, and also a manned mission to Mars, and then also satellites and robot cars to Mars, and also to other planets as well. So we will automatically slot into data from NASA that is at the forefront of scientific research. And in the process, it will be a vehicle for training of high-level manpower that
right.
is of a huge scarcity in this country, for instance, scientists, engineers, and also technical support people. So they will be intimately involved in the design and the build and the maintenance of this site. So South Africa will automatically be involved in the next, the e-commerce of e-commerce sites, where the whole world is actually part of the moment migrating from a resource-based economy to a data or a valued economy, a knowledge-based economy.
Yeah.
And that is one of the vehicles that will be ideally suited for training or putting us at the forefront of this endeavor in future.
Very quick question before we conclude, Dr. Kotz. We know Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX, is born South African and was raised here. Mark Shuttleworth was the first South African in space. Do you guys at the South African National Space Agency have any contact with them?
Not with them specifically, but I know Mark Shuttleworth made a huge donation to our facility here in Manus for putting up a science outreach in institution or environment. So he donated the money for us to be able to do science outreach to the community in general, particularly schools that do not have science laboratories. So they come to Hermanus in the vicinity, they do the practicals, and they get teacher training in that regard. So in an indirect sense, Mark Shuttleworth has got a sort of a influence in the space industry of the country, although he's not directly involved in it anymore.
Dr. Peter Kotze, we thank you for your time this morning.
That is a pleasure. Thank you very much.